Your Bible for our second reading to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife only, be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Meholathite to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. There is supposed to be a contrast in this passage, and I hope you saw it. Saul himself is beside himself, has an evil spirit from the Lord upon him. And let us not think, maybe I was remiss earlier in going through these passages. Maybe I wasn't. I don't recall specifically what we said, but I want to make it clear here that the Lord sent an evil spirit upon Saul that he did such and so. And yet in the day of judgment, when Saul stands before the Lord, it will not be the Lord's fault or the evil spirit's fault that Saul did this or that. All of this is simply what Saul already had in his heart. Let's be clear about that. Okay? There is no fault here that falls to anyone except Saul for his actions. Providentially, there is no blame that can ever be cast upon the Lord. Remember, James makes that clear, that God tempts no one and he is not tempted of evil, but every man is tempted and drawn away by his own lusts. Right? You remember that. So everything that's going on here with Saul has only one person to blame, and that is Saul himself. Now, the contrast of that, that's where we were, right? The contrast of that is what? That David, three times in the chapter, says, behaved himself wisely. Saul himself is behaving himself a fool, fearful and pinched. David, for his part, behaves himself wisely in all he does. This is simply a signal, a sign, a mark that the Lord is with David and he is not with Saul. That Saul has rebelled against the Lord, and the Lord is indeed giving Saul up to that reprobation that he has already witnessed concerning himself. So, it's very clear what this chapter is setting forth in its broad sweep, the contrast between David and Saul. Now, notice in the first section of the chapter, verses 1 through 5, Saul is plenty happy with David. You know, he's really done me a kindness here. He's taken care of Goliath. I was the one that should have gone out. I didn't. I sent David out. David took care of him. We've dispatched the Philistines. It's been quite a month here. And so I'm pretty happy with David. I'm going to put him over my army. It's obvious that the Lord is with him. All of this goes forward. And so David behaved himself wisely. Jonathan and David are knit together in their own friendship in such a way that Jonathan gives his outer coat. Remember, that outer coat would have been a sign of royalty. And he gives him all of his armor, his weaponry. And all of that goes from Jonathan to David. And I know that there are those who have made something perverse out of that, and that is because their own minds are incapable of thinking anything but perversity with regard to Jonathan and David. This is an upright exchange of affection and love, one man for another. And this is the great friendship that Jonathan and David enjoyed, such that Jonathan gave up his outer robe, which was a sign of his own authority and royalty. In other words, what Jonathan is saying to David is, I know that one day you will be king. All of this is true. And so there is no perversity involved here. The friendship of Jonathan and David was also a spiritual camaraderie. It was a unity of heart in the things of God. It was something about which those who do not have that unity cannot understand. People are united in all kinds of things. We even see enemies that end up being united, right? Herod and Pilate, like this in the New Testament. Why? Because they hated Christ and they were united over that. The camaraderie, the friendship, the love between David and Jonathan is based upon spiritual things. They have the same love for the things of God. They had the same goal. Kill the enemies of God, namely the Philistines. Remember, Jonathan has already been that guy that said to his armor bearer, "Let you and I go up because the Lord can save by many or by few." Maybe we're the few today. David had great admiration for Jonathan and Jonathan for David. But between Saul and David, we have this wisdom on the part of David, and then we see also that lack of wisdom, that foolhardiness on the side of Saul. Notice that of David, he did not arrogate to himself prerogatives that were not yet his, although he had been anointed by Samuel. He did not let the favor of man puff him up with pride, and he did not let the defeat of the Philistine make him lose his head in an unwise sort of way. And so David shows himself very wisely. And Saul, for his part, at this point, he is happy for David's advance because it means the advance of his kingdom as well. All right, but then verse 6 comes along. And there's a change in verse 6. And I have this next section, the 6 through 11. And so they come back to Jerusalem. I think it's Jerusalem. As they return from the slaughter of the Philistines. Doesn't say where it was. The women come out to celebrate the victory. What they ought to do is what the women did in those days, and they did so with dances and with songs. Nothing wrong with that. Perfectly fine thing to do. And so they came out and they said, "Saul has slain his thousands." And I would imagine the first refrain of that song that Saul was plenty happy to hear that. But when he heard verse 2, "and David is 10,000s, something happened, right? There was something that went off in Saul's mind because of his jealousy. Remember, Saul has already been told that he's going to lose the kingdom. And he has a pretty good idea at this point, with this young man behaving himself so wisely and the Lord granting him such favor, who that's going to be. And so he prophesies out of his own mouth, right? What can he have else except the kingdom? And so we see the pinched and jealous nature of Saul. What about me? What about recognizing me? And so we see that that is indeed the sign of a reprobate heart. This self-concern, this selfishness that Saul portrays here. It is indeed a wicked attitude. He did not reckon that David's victory was indeed his victory, as he had before, because he did not receive personal recognition for it. But many times we see monarchs, kings, leaders, taking credit for the things that are done on their watch. And that's a perfectly acceptable way of speaking. You might have the head of a company who has someone that's very creative, very good at what he does, and comes up with some wonderful invention while he works for him. And he might say, "This is our invention." And he would say that correctly. Saul might say, "This is our victory." And he might say that correctly. But because the ladies did not recognize him specifically as the author of that victory, Saul then began to look at David. Well, it says that he began to eye him. Your King James Version there is very, very accurate. That's exactly what the Hebrew says. Saul began to eye him. What's the implication? He began to look upon him with suspicion. That's the implication, is it not? So Saul eyed David, verse 9, from that day forward. And then we might say that Saul eyed him even a little bit more in that he put a target on him and he became the focus of his crosshairs, because the next day, twice, he threw a javelin at David. Do you notice the patience and confidence of David here? It says that David escaped out of his hand twice. Now, it may not be in the same day, but David did come back to Saul to serve him as he was called upon to do by the king. How interesting of David, right? And how confident of him. All right, so then in verses 12 through the end of the chapter, finally, we see the conniving of Saul. Okay, so notice in verse 21, I want to clear up something that may seem a little bit confusing in the chapter. And Saul said, I will give him her, that is Michal, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the twain. Now, this day here is not the day that Saul and David were speaking, but another specified day. This day. This day, 30 days in the future, this day, 60 days in the future. We're not told how long the period of time was, but a little bit later on in the passage, we see in verse 26, when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. That is, Saul said, we're going to set a wedding date. You're going to be my son-in-law. And it'll be in one of the twain. It'll be either in Merab or Michal. And now we learn that it's going to be Michal. Well, that's good because she loved David. And David was pleased to have her as his wife. And so what happens is there's this period of time. And what David needs to do is come up with a dowry. And David is a poor man. He comes out of a small in the sense of a family that was not rich, that kind of smallness. It wasn't Jesse was not one of the great men of the earth. He had a lot of sons, but he was not a great man in that sense, not a wealthy man. And David said, I'm a poor man. And how am I going to become the son-in-law to the king? What kind of a dowry is he going to ask for? And so David, here's that day. You know, the days are ticking off. And the servants of Saul, they come to David and they say, you know, Saul really wants you to be a son-in-law. Isn't that great? And David's thinking about the burden of it. How can I be the king's son-in-law? I'm a poor man. And so they return to Saul and they say, well, this is what David said. And Saul said, ah, my plan is coming to fruition. He had earlier said, I'm going to give her to David to be his wife because the Philistines will be a snare to him. And what does that mean? This is exactly what it means. I want you to go out and kill 100 Philistines for me and bring me their foreskins as a trophy. And surely he's thinking David will die in that endeavor. So that's what Saul is thinking. And so we see the conniving of Saul, that his plans, his machinations, that he's very settled in them. He's not an unintelligent man. He sets this plan in order for many days to come. And so he's got it all figured out. And so David goes out and under the hand and care of God, under the Lord's providence, not just 100, but 200 Philistines David slays and brings back their foreskins and gives them to Saul. What do you think Saul is thinking when he says, I thought to have him slain with 100 and he brings me back 200? Well, Saul is receiving this, again, this witness from the Lord. What? That God has blessed David. You know, it's still not too late for Saul. He's still breathing. He can still repent. Saul, in witnessing this greatness that the Lord is blessing David with, he could still repent. He could still turn from his wickedness. But he doesn't. Instead, he doubles down on it. He remains hard in his iniquity, in his sin. And so then, the king desires not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And so David brings 200 in verse 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Very strong in the original. Saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Everything I try to do to this guy, it turns up, not down. Everything I try to do to afflict him, it turns to blessing. Certainly the Lord is with him. And so then, what? Did Saul repent and throw in his lot? No. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. such that his name was much set by. In other words, it was much respected. And all the servants of Saul, that meant in his house or in his army, whatever. David had the highest honor of them all. Why? Because he went out parading it? No. Because he behaved himself humbly and wisely throughout. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Samuel chapter 18.